What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
From Wall Street to the White House, this is the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow. This is the Larry Kudlow Show. We're going to do some money in politics. Two of my favorite folks, Monica Crowley, former Assistant Secretary of the Treasury and host of the Monica Crowley podcast, and Steve Moore, Committee to Unleash Prosperity Hotline, and he is the host of WABC's More Money, which plays on many of these same stations right after the show. Kids, welcome back. Thank you. Monica Crowley, there's a headline in the New York Sun. Americans who work have been losing money under Biden. That's the headline. Losing money under Biden. And they are not happy about it. And that's why Biden's economic polls are so bad. What do you make of that, Monica Crowley?
Yeah, well, it's great to be with you again, Larry, and hi, Steve. Yeah, that New York Sun headline hits it right where it counts, I think, for most of the American people, and in particular, the middle class, the working class, and the poor, who have gotten completely squeezed over the last 3.5 years under Joe Biden, and at least for the first 2 years, Democratic leadership in the Congress. Because their complete out-of-control government spending has sent this economy into a tailspin, including this suffocating inflationary spiral that we've all been in that affects, you know, the things that we require every day just to stay upright. The prices have gone through the roof. So overall prices are up 20% since Biden took office. And then when you drill down, groceries, rent, also 20-25% higher since Biden took office. Gas prices obviously fluctuate, but they've been elevated as well. So while the inflation spiral has been ongoing, you've also had real wages fall over the last 3.5 years to the point where if prices are going up, but your wages are falling, you're being squeezed and your dollar goes a lot less far. So I think, and Steve can speak to this probably better than I can, but I think average monthly increase just to meet basic life needs is, I think, $1,500, $2,000 more per month for the average American family than it was under Donald Trump.
It's about $1,100.
And it affects those, $1,100. So, again, it affects those on the lower end of the income scale much more than it does at the higher end. And those are the people getting squeezed the most.
You know, Monica, you're a very high-class woman. You say completely squeezed. I was sure you were going to say what I would have said, and that is completely screwed.
But well,
No, you're a high-class dame. That's all there is to it. And I want to say also, you were the Assistant Secretary for Public Affairs. I think you're better than the economics department. I mean, listen to you go down through it. It's terrific stuff. Actually, Faulkner would kill me if he heard that, but he's not on. He won't hear that.
He was my colleague at Treasury and my friend.
And the guy's pretty smart, too, as a matter of fact. But, you know, Steve Moore, the household numbers, $1,100 more, and wages have fallen. Average hourly wages after inflation have dropped from $11.40 to $11.11. But you know what else, Steve? Almost a sleeper. I talked about this way earlier in the show. Remember Ray Fair, professor of Yale, very smart guy, had a model of presidential elections, and his main variable was real disposable income. Okay, so that's income after inflation, after taxes. And Ray Fair argued, as I recall, if an incumbent wasn't above 2.5% year on year or 2.7, it was going to lose. So what you got now is real disposable income for the past 12 months is only 1.4%, barely an increase. And for the first 3 months of the election year, Steve, it's flat. It's basically flat. In March, it was up 0.2. In February, it fell 0.1. And in January, it was 0.0. So that is an important election indicator that Biden's in a heap of trouble.
Well, that's right. Hi, guys. Great to be with both of you. I'm just going to go back to the what I call the Ronald Reagan metric, and you were there, Larry, mm-hmm. so you remember it. Are you better off than you were 4 years ago?
Yep.
Right? I mean, when Reagan said that to the nation in his debate against Jimmy Carter, you know, he ended up winning the race by 10 percentage points because Americans weren't better off as they are not better off today. I don't think this is a complicated election. I think it really comes down to that. Now, look, there's still, what, 6-7 months to go. And, you know, if the economy improves, we'll see. But I'm somewhat doubtful of that after the GDP report that came out this week. The other thing I would add is, you know, if you look at, you know, if you look at the hourly wages, you know, they're down a little bit. But one of the points that my colleague E.J. Antoni makes is that hours worked is falling. Mm. In other words, the number of hours that people are working a week. So if you look at not just the hourly wage, but what people are making each week, those numbers are even worse. And so we have an affordability crisis in this country, and it's a killer. I mean, look.
I love what, affordability crisis.
They hate inflation. It just kills them.
Affordability crisis. No, affordability crisis is really a key point, because that's what we're talking about, right? People don't buy and sell GDP. When you go to the store, it's affordability. It's mortgage rates, which are now over 7.5%, credit cards ranging 25% to 30%, car loans, you buy a new car, you're running 8% to 9%, you buy a used car, you're running 10% to 12%. That's the killer.
What about a mortgage? What about a mortgage, Larry?
It's over 7%. Over 7.5% now for a 30-year. I mean, isn't that something? A big number. It's just, it keeps going up. So I like the affordability crisis. I mean, I think that kind of captures all. And it's just, you know, take-home pay is slumping. And people know that. Take-home pay is slumping. Monica Crowley, let me ask you another thing. The lawfare war, Biden's lawfare war against Trump, it's not working. Trump's polls are doing just fine. Actually, CNN just did a poll. I know it's CNN, but whatever. Actually, more people are unconcerned. More people are unconcerned about the trials. The longer the trials go on, it has no meaning to them whatsoever. It's not as important as take-home pay. Lawfare war is not working.
Coming as a huge shock to the deep state and the left and the permanent bureaucracy and the imperial media, all of whom wanted Donald Trump gone this time around. And they cannot believe, Larry and Steve, they cannot believe that the man is not just still standing, but thriving and leading, dominating the polls nationally and in all of the swing states. So I think they felt like, okay, we're going to tee up lawfare this time around and try to neutralize Donald Trump as a political force by keeping him tied up in court during the entire campaign season, draining his resources, keeping him distracted, and then hopefully putting a dent in his popularity because they want to secure a conviction before the election so that the Biden team and the Democrats can run on, well, do you really want to elect a convicted felon? But I think there are a couple of things going on here, including the fact that we're getting more and more evidence of redacted documents, other evidence showing actual collusion, not the fake Russian collusion that they tried to smear Donald Trump with, but actual collusion between the Biden White House, his Department of Justice under Merrick Garland and Lisa Monaco, Jack Smith, and Fannie Willis in Georgia, Alvin Bragg in New York City. More evidence is coming out that they actually all colluded together in violation of the law to manufacture these fraudulent Stalin-esque kind of show trials and cases. More people see how fraudulent the entire thing is, and they've had it. And the other thing, too, is based on what we opened this conversation with, which is we now have two back-to-back presidencies to compare. We haven't had that in, what, 100 years? Two back-to-back presidencies. Donald Trump's record as president on the economy delivered a booming economy, an enforced border, law and order, and world peace compared to the absolute historic catastrophe that we've had over the last 3.5 years under Joe Biden. To Steve's point about the Reagan question, the answer is so obvious. You don't have to go back 40 years to the booming Reagan years to realize what a booming economy was and world peace. You only have to go back 3 years pre-COVID, and more people want that. And that is why he is being strengthened by this lawfare rather than weakened.
Yeah. Can I add something to that, Larry?
Yes, please.
I think Matt makes a great point. But here's the thing. This is a non-economic point, but, you know, as everyone is doing, I'm paying attention to what's happening at Columbia University, what happened at USC, where they had to, you know, cancel the graduation. And it just seems like the country is being pulled apart. It's so troubling. So this is a beyond the economy. It sort of reminds me of, you know, what was happening on college campuses in the late 60s. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the reasons Ronald Reagan won the election, because actually back then the economy was doing pretty well. The people felt like the country was just coming apart at the seams. And I'm just so deeply troubled by this. And the fact that, you know, our president won't speak out about the chaos and the idiocy that's going on our campuses. And so many of these other things, the crime crisis, the immigration, it seems like he's just absent without any leadership on these issues, even the non-economic issues.
Well, it's a good point. I would add to that, with respect to all these hate crimes and hate speech against Jewish kids in college, and anti-Semitism in general, which is growing, spawned by DEI, which is Biden is, you know, the great progenitor of DEI. That's all he ever talks about. It's all his administration seems to care about. And Steve, you know, Trump said this in his Truth Social video. There are civil rights cases against discrimination that should be brought against these anti-Semitic outbursts on the campuses. And Biden won't touch them. These were designed, obviously, for blacks years ago. They're on the books. This is a perfect spot to use them. And Trump's, you know, he said, I will enforce the civil rights discrimination cases. This is something that that Biden hasn't mentioned. And moreover, another point, Steve and Monica, Trump said, look, if they don't shape up essentially and, you know, get rid of DEI and go back to more classic Western civilization-oriented standards and merit standards.
Yep.
He says, I'm going to tax them and fine them on their endowments. Hit them where it hurts.
Yes, I love that.
You know, I mean, so it's to your point. I mean, it's like the country is being torn apart. Yep. And
by the way, just one other quick thing to add to what you're saying. It's not just an anti-Israel, anti-Jew. It's anti-American.
Yes, it is.
These kids hate the United States
of
America.
Yes.
And they're everywhere on the college campuses. And they're so pampered, too. They're saying how aggrieved they are. These are people who get free tuition. They want their student loans bailed out. You know, they've never worked a day in their life, and they're talking about how aggrieved they are.
Monica, the George Soros crowd, I don't know if you saw the New York Post today, the George Soros crowd financing these Hamas, Palestinian, the tents on the campuses. You know, it turns out it's George Soros, I think one of the Rockefeller relatives. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And, you know, can I just point out that all of these kids, these useful idiots, as Vladimir Lenin used to call people like this, they're the product of like decades of indoctrination, Marxist indoctrination that has permeated all of our schools, public and private, doesn't matter. And Larry, to your point about George Soros financing so much of this, that is 100% true. And what everybody needs to know is it doesn't matter whether it's the terrorist sympathizers in the streets right now, or go back 4 years to Antifa and Black Lives Matter burning down the country, also paid for in large part by George Soros, or go back even further, 40, 50 years, the anti-Vietnam War protests. in all of these cases, this is all the same revolution. So what the revolutionaries do is they take a top line issue, whether it's the war in Vietnam or George Floyd or Israel versus Hamas, or they manufacture a top line issue, and then they send the kids into the streets and the college campuses or their shock troops in the city streets. It doesn't matter. They will find a pretext or create one, all for one objective, which is to destabilize American society. Everybody needs to know it's all same revolution.
Got it. All right, let's take a quick break. Monica Crowley and Steve Moore. By the way, Steve Moore, More Money is coming up after this show on a lot of these same stations. And I'm going to put Monica Crowley podcast. Steve Moore, have you ever been on the Monica Crowley podcast? I think I lost him. Oh, he's not talking. All right. I want to go back on the Monica Crowley podcast. Anyway, I'm Kudlow. We'll be right back.
Larry Kudlow. With crime running rampant in New York, you need to keep yourself and your family safe. Obtaining your concealed carry firearm licenses can be difficult and time-consuming. That's where MyFirstPistol.com comes in. They'll help you secure your concealed carry license. If you're looking for a pistol, premise, rifle, or shotgun license, call 347-559-7052. 347-559-7052. You must have a valid firearm license issued by the NYPD to purchase, possess, or shoot a handgun or pistol in NYPD. I see. From Wall Street to the White House, this is the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow. We're talking money and politics with Monica Crowley, former Assistant Secretary of the Treasury and host of the Monica Crowley podcast, which I was plugging at the end of the last segment, but nobody said anything.
You are always invited back, Steve,
Oh, that's good. It's good to know. And Steve Moore, committed to Unleash Prosperity and host of WABC Radio's More Money, which plays a lot of these stations right after this show. Steve Moore, I can't resist myself. It's just so annoying to me. This business that capital gains taxes are racist. Okay? I mean, we don't have to spend an hour on it. But you know, the Treasury Department, Biden's Treasury, puts out this advancing equity through tax reform, blah, blah, blah. They're raising the capital gains tax to 45%. That's just the federal one, which itself is incredible. Not so long ago, during the Bush years, it was 15%. And they're basically saying that this capital gains favors whites over blacks and Hispanics, so it has to be raised so we can all be poorer. I mean, Steve, just speak to this for a minute, please.
I don't know. Thank God this didn't happen when Monica was over at the Treasury Department. But it really shows that the left just looks at everything through this lens of racism and DEI, and it's so out of control. Now they're even saying that, you know, lowering the capital gains tax is racist. Who thinks these things up? And what you and I and Monica believe in is, let's just have a rising tide that makes everybody richer. Why do we? Well, we can't do this because this might help this group more than that group. We want to prosper. By the way, the fact that there's not enough ownership in Black America, we got to do something about that. We want all groups to be owners in America, but the idea isn't to torpedo the economy so that everybody's equally poor.
More capital investment is the best thing for rising tide to lift all boats. And you know, you have the Enterprise Zone program that was put in place by Trump and Ben Carson and so forth. That's a perfect example. Right. There's basically capital gains tax free for a bunch of years as long as you invest in these zones, which are essentially minority zones, and you'll have more minority ownership of business. I mean, it's just crazy stuff. I just want to, and by the way, a 45%, it's, what do they say in here? 44.6% capital gains tax. That is a very high capital gains tax. And some of these states have their own tax, so it'll be over 50. So that can't
He will destroy investment in America. It's going to leave the country. It's going to, as I said, it will make everyone poorer. But by the way, there's some good news on the ownership front. The ethnic group that's really showing big increases in ownership and wealth is Hispanic Americans.
Yes.
They're doing well.
Very well.
Mm-hmm.
Monica, I just got about 90 seconds left, but regulatory socialism running rampant. The EPA is closing down coal and natural gas. Of course, they hate oil anyway, so we're not going to have any electricity. We'll have nothing but brownouts. The Federal Trade Commission wants to end non-competes so we can have intellectual property theft. And the Federal Communications Commission wants to take over the internet again. They call it net neutrality, but it's a takeover of the internet and broadband and profits that are made there. Give me a good minute on this, Monica. Regulatory socialism.
Yeah, you know, under President Trump, and Larry, you and Steve had a big role in this, Secretary Mnuchin as well, in offering regulatory relief to businesses and industries of all sizes. And it really lifts that wet blanket of regulation that is so onerous over the entire economy. We lifted it and allowed businesses to function without that heavy hand of government on them. But then Joe Biden comes in and puts it right back. Understand, all of this is about the radical redistribution of wealth, the expansion of government, and the revolution, as I talked about, to gut U.S. capitalism and free market enterprise and reinstall socialism and a form of collectivism that
what
is
fun.
Anti-American.
What fun. How about that? And they did it in just a week, just the last week. Monica Crowley, thank you. Steve Moore's More Money coming up, kids. Appreciate it very much. I'm Kudlow. Next week.